You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The title of the message this morning is simply called, Must Be Present to Win. Must be present to win. Most things in life mean more when we are present. How many agree with that? When we see it with our own eyes. When you are present, you remember more about each moment. Right? I can share a story with you today, and it don't mean as much to you. Why? Because you're just hearing it. You didn't experience it. And when you experience something, man, you're never at the mercy of the man with the question when you experience something. Amen. That's when people tell me the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for today, it's a little too late to tell me that. I've already experienced that. I'm not at the mercy of your question, all right? I've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But when you experience something, when you actually see something happen, it means more. There's more of a memory. It's more vivid. I can tell you a story right now, and many of you will forget it in 5 minutes. You may laugh with me, but you'll forget what I even said in 5 minutes. Why? Because you weren't there. You weren't there. But if you're present when it happened, man, it's what? Just a story. It was an event. It was an event. You would very well remember it the rest of your life. So I thought of three things this week. I've been traveling. Man, thank God 11 weeks of training is completely over for Don Kinder. Trained 774 people in person over the last 11 weeks. Man, just wore ourselves out. Me and my buddy Jake from Findlay, we wore ourselves out. But we got it done. And we were present. Man, I saw the value of being before people doing training versus we could have done a computer-based module and nobody had been able to ask questions. You can't ask questions to a computer, right? And we got face-to-face with people, had a bunch of questions, got to meet a bunch of cool people, and got to answer a lot of questions. But as I was thinking this week, I thought of three memories that I have, events. Number one was 2003. The Mountaineers were playing on, I think it was a Wednesday night, maybe a Thursday night. It was a night game. It was a weeknight game. We were playing the number three ranked Virginia Tech Hokies. We were 2-4. We just came off a loss. We just got beat by number one Miami like a week before when Quincy Wilson had that amazing run. Looked like we were going to win, and we lost. I went to Morgantown that night. Me and Andy Martin and George Shalver and Eric Sims. Mark knows all those guys. And we were in Morgantown. We're sitting in the south end zone. On the hospital side, just before they made it into the premium suites or whatever they call them. And I'm sitting there, man, this game just unfolds. We're up 14-7 at halftime, and the place, you can just feel electricity in the air. Like, hey, man, tonight's the night. We're going to do this. Tonight is going to be a magical night. And, man, we were backed up on our own goal line early in the third quarter, and it was like we were on the seven. Man, Virginia Tech's defense had their ears reared back. They stuffed 8 men in the box because Quincy Wilson and those guys were just running crazy on them, and they dared us. And Rasheed, the only marshal that matters. It was a great T-shirt. I never did get one of those T-shirts. I wish I would have. Throws a 93-yard strike to Terrence Garvin, and he came right to the end zone I was in. It was a magical moment. We go on to win that game 28-7. We knocked off the number three-ranked Hokies. And what was amazing about that game, I've never stayed in the stands post-game other than that night, that long. We were in the stands like an hour after the game, screaming and yelling, and all the students had rushed the field to tear down goalposts, and there were more tackles going on after the game, right, than there were during the game. There were people getting pepper sprayed, and there were German shepherds, and there were riot gears. I remember that. Why? Because I was present. Many of you watched that game on TV. How many of you are watching that game on TV? They turned it off. When we sang Country Roads, it was over. But guess what? There was a lot more going on after the game. There was pepper sprays and dogs. And we would be standing there and it's like, he's going to get. Oh, some guy would be making a mad dash for the goalpost. And he would just get tackled right at the last second. Right? I remember that very vividly. Why? Because I was present. I saw it with my own eyes. I stood there in that section and cheered. And honestly, I won't lie to you. That's the loudest I've ever heard Mountaineer Field. Before or since. That place was crazy that night. And we weren't very good. We turned into a pretty good team later in the season. But I remember that. Why? Because I was there. I was present. Now, I'll never forget a couple years ago, we was at Camp Zoe. And Aaron Crabb, I think, was that the one that came and sang that night? Aaron Crabb was leading worship. And Dave Johnson was excited. I mean, Dave was pumped guy, man. And Dave comes in. He goes up to Mike Lacey. He said, Mike, I went up to Aaron Crabb and told him he better bring his A game. because you've been doing a great job in worship. Mike felt about that small. Mike was like, really? You went and told Aaron Crabb like he's going to bring his A game because I've been leading worship. And Dave was just so excited. I mean, we had a great week at Camp Zoe that week. And I don't know, there was hundreds of people in the gym. There were hundreds of people in the gym. And Dave walked up to me and Kevin, I think Ramon Gore, I don't know if anybody else was standing there. He said, Camp Zoe all the way, baby. And next thing you know, I see Dave Johnson running across the gym. He was going to try to do a backflip over the wall. Didn't work out for him. Dave went up and hit that wall, and his foot slipped, and he fell on his back. And the funny thing is I remember that because I saw it. Now, many of you may have been present, but you didn't see it happen. You weren't focusing on what was taking place. And, man, I remember that vividly because I was present. I was not just in the room. I was focused on what was going on. You must be present to win. And then I was at a conference a few years back in Orlando, Florida. And they gave out door prizes. I think I spoke that year. I did. I spoke at that conference. And they gave out door prizes, and they drew a guy's name out of a hat. It was for a Pebble watch. This was before the Apple Watches really got big and famous. And it was a smart watch. And they drew this name out, and the guy wasn't there. He wasn't in the room. And I'm in the back going, hey, man, you got to be present to win. And they were like, 100 people were like, yeah, he's right. You got to be present to win. Everybody's like, yeah. And we voted, yes, you got to be present to win. Right? Now, very next name they drew out was mine. I was present and I won. Right? Must be present to win. You got to be there to win, right? You got to be there to win. I had a Pebble watch. He walked home with a Pebble watch. Because I know the guy. I didn't ever told him they called his name. Not my problem. He wasn't present to win. Some things mean more when we are present. Details are recalled when you are there. There's moments in life where you must be present to win. You know, actually a few years ago at Camp Zoe, we gave away a 32-inch flat screen TV. You remember that? And we had a rule, you must be present to win. So everybody stayed that night, shaving cream and eggs. And we hadn't moved it yet to Saturday or to a festival type. It was on Trick or Treat night. And they all packed into that basement. And you must be present to win. Some lady won a TV. We asked her to come and check her out, come to church. She said, no, I have another church. She never came back. She took her TV and went home. But she met the qualifications. She signed up and she won a TV and she was there. You must be present to win. The same is true in our spiritual journeys with Jesus. We have to be present to win. Win actually means to succeed or triumph or be victorious. You can't take any days off in your spiritual journey. When you do, it becomes easier and easier to relax. Our scripture in the morning tells us a few things about this as well. In his presence is fullness of joy. What this tells me is that wherever Jesus is, there's fullness of joy. Wherever he is, there's fullness of joy. The question is, am I present where he's at? Am I where Jesus is? Because if where Jesus is, there's fullness of joy. And if I'm not full of joy, maybe I'm not with Jesus at that moment. I'm not saying I'm not saved. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven, right? But maybe if my joy isn't really full, as Pastor Frank used to say, maybe you have a hole in your bucket, right? We got to draw out of the well of salvation and we get that joy from that well. Guess what? Maybe you got a hole in your bucket if your joy isn't full. And if you're not in the presence of Jesus, maybe that's why your joy isn't always full. You must be present to win. Fullness, the state of being filled to capacity. Think about that. In his presence is fullness of joy. When you're in God's presence, you are filled to capacity with joy. Filled to capacity. All you can stand of joy. You got it when you're in his presence. If you're not present to win, guess what? You may not be full of joy. May your bucket's half full. Psalm 16 is showing us that when we are in the pursuit of joy, location is everything. The psalmist is pretty sure that the only place to find the fullness of joy is in his presence. This is the only location, Jesus being the only location, that the fullness of joy can be found in his presence. This means we must be present to win. Understand, there's victory, success, triumph. Those are all definitions of win. So many people confuse condition with location. condition with location. We strive to have the ideal conditions in our life when in reality we should be seeking the right location. Amen. We want the perfect scenario. We want the perfect setup. We want everything to be right. But in reality we should be seeking location because in his presence is fullness of joy. Wherever he is, that's where the fullness of joy is. So we should be striving for location. Condition, happiness is not joy. I'll be the first person to tell you that. How many of you know that? You being happy is not joy. There's no joy. Joy is not a product of your condition. Joy is a product of location. Right? Joy is a product of location. The difference between happiness and joy is that simple. Happiness is defined by the condition of your life. I won't lie to you. I really like Frank's Calzones. How many of you, y'all know that by now? So about a year ago, we were having our fantasy draft. And Brandon and I had this brilliant idea. We were meeting at Mike's house. We were supposed to eat. Everybody was supposed to come. Of course, nobody came except me, you, and Mike. And I think Ryan came. And Brandon and I were like, hey, man, I'll give you money. And Brandon was like, I'll go get him. And we were going to have French Calzones for our fantasy draft. I mean, it was a miraculous. It felt good. The presupposed was really a good moment. And Brandon, if you text me, it was sad. But we'll finish the whole story first. Brandon's like, yeah, man, I'll go get him. We'll call him in. I'll run up to Frank's. We'll get him. We'll meet back at Mike's at 3 or 4 o'clock. We'll eat Calzones and draft fantasy football. It was a perfect moment in time. Brandon tried to call Frank's. No one answered. Brandon thought, maybe they're just really busy. So Brandon drove to Montgomery to order Frank's Calzones. They were closed. They were closed. I remember that text. Brandon was like, hey, man, Frank's is closed today. You talking about a letdown. I mean, at that moment, my condition changed, didn't it? My celebratory, miraculous moment changed all because of a condition, right? My joy that I thought I had over a Calzone was really happiness, right? It wasn't really joy because once I found out Frank's was closed, I was down and out in Beverly Hills, right? I was down. I mean, it went from the rest of the day, I'm thinking, what kind of pizza place is not open on a Sunday? Right? That was my mindset. Why? So my happiness went to sadness because they were closed. So it wasn't really joy, was it? My happiness was based on a condition. I'm going to get something, so therefore I'm happy. Right? When the conditions change, guess what? So does our mood. So does our mindset. So many people get happiness and joy confused for this very reason. Happiness is made up of two words. The first word is hap. Happenstance is actually the word that happiness derives from. Hap means an event or a circumstance. So happiness is based on an event or in a circumstance, not something deep-rooted. So in other words, it can change. My Calzone moment got changed. Brandon was probably more disappointed than I was because he drove all the way in Montgomery. He went from Marmette to Montgomery. And you're talking about a letdown. I didn't have any gas involved in it. Brandon did. I probably should have gave you gas money for that. I apologize. But man, you're talking, that's how conditions, that's the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness comes from the root word hap, which means an event or happening, which presupposes that happiness is based on the occurrence of an event. So then happiness is based on a condition or a situation. There is no guarantee of what it's going to produce, is it? No guarantee what it can produce. So this tells us happiness fluctuates. It comes and goes. But let me tell you this. Joy does not fluctuate. Joy does not come and go. Because in his presence, there is fullness of joy. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. The Bible says in John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Amen. God wants you to be full of joy. Joy isn't based on the weather. Joy isn't based on the paycheck. Joy isn't based on whether you have a flat tire or not. Joy is not based on any situation. It's based on a person. It's based on a relationship. It's based on Jesus Christ. And in his presence is fullness of joy. Jesus comes along and offers us a joy ride. Think about that. How many of you went for a joyride before? Who passed? He gets on that bike, him and Sharon, and they'll just go for a joyride some Saturday. They'll just ride up the Hawk's Nest, he's told me. They'll go up 61 and come back. Well, he'd probably stay 61. 60's kind of dangerous. They'll just ride up and ride back. They'll go for a joyride. There have been times that I love taking the top off my 04 Jeep because it's a soft top. The hard top's kind of hard to get off. We haven't done it yet. Kelly reminds me all the time. It's all kinds of bolts. But, man, there's nothing better than a 70-degree day, and you rip that top off and just go for a drive, right? We did that on Christmas a couple years ago. It was 72 degrees on Christmas Eve. We took the top off the blue Jeep and went through Coonskin. It's all the lights. How awesome was that? I went for a joyride. Well, you know what? When Jesus shows up in our life, he says, hey, let's go for a joyride. He offers us a joyride. We fixate on this statement that he can make our joy complete, make our joy full. We sit around and wait for him to accomplish this task. We wait for life. We keep humdrum, experience normal life, waiting for Jesus to do something. We think you've been shortchanged, though, haven't we, sometimes? Hey, Jesus, you promised me my joy will be full. But the Bible also goes on and says, if you keep my commandments, is what it says, before the joy can be full. If you abide in my love, then your joy will be full. If you keep my commandments, then your joy will be full. We just think the joy is an automatic thing. It's not automatic. There's nothing about this life that's automatic other than change. It's going to change, right? There's nothing automatic about it. It's essential for us to realize, because in that moment it's revealed he told us some things on purpose that determine whether or not our joy is full. We have to abide in him. We have to obey his commandments first. Then our joy is full. Location brings joy. I want to tell you that this morning. Where you're at determines where your joy's at. Location brings joy. The reason we are up and down, the reason we are on top of the mountain and suddenly back in the valley of discouragement is because we base our outlook on the condition, not the location. We settle for a world standard, which is cheap and sometimes easy, but it does not last. I tell my kids all the time, if it's easy, it won't last. I mean, Hannah right now is doing really well in class and school and college, and I mean really, really well, better than she's done in her whole life, probably other than kindergarten. I mean, she's having an amazing semester, and I mean, she's really close to a 4.0, and I mean, she said, it's hard, Dad, it's hard. She tells me and Kelly all the time, it's hard. I said, honey, if it's easy, it won't last. If it's easy, it's not going to last. And the same is true in our spiritual journey. If it's easy, it's not going to last. It won't last if it's easy, right? It takes work. Guess what? It's okay, because I want it to last. I want it to last. It lasts until the new car smell goes away. It stays until you experience a loss instead of a win. Happiness is secured until the dream job is no longer the dream job. Happiness must continually be conditioned. Think about that. We have to continually change the conditions and terms to keep our happiness. Joy isn't that way. Joy isn't that way. In this case, we push joy to our future. You ever done that? Your momentary moment is not going the way you want because you're thinking happiness and joy are the same thing. So we push joy to the future. Well, God, I know someday down the line, God, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to have the joy that you want. But until then, I'll just stay where I'm at. It doesn't have to be a future event. It doesn't have to be in the sweet by and by until your joy can be full. You can live a joyful, full life right now. That doesn't mean your situation is perfect. That doesn't mean everything is going great in your life. That means you are in his presence. Location is what matters, not what you're going through. When we get our location correct, the conditions do not matter. Think about what I said. When we are in the right place, what's going on around us don't matter anymore. Doesn't mean it goes away, but we got joy now inside of it. We're full of joy. Think about that. Full of joy. We don't comprehend that. Joy to the world. We're about to start singing. Right? The Lord has come. Guess what? He will come to your life every day. It's not a Christmas carol. It's a reality. Joy can be yours every single day. Every day. Daniel recognizing the lion's den was just a condition. His location was in the presence of his king. Think about that. The lion's den was a condition that he was in. His location was in the presence of a king. Rather than becoming a meal that night, the lions became a pillow and a blanket. So he had good night's rest. The presence matters. Location matters. If you want joy in your life, you have to secure the location first. We must pursue the presence of Christ. If we want joy, His presence is location we must seek. So I want to focus now on Psalm 16:11. There's three things it talks about in that simple verse. It says, is a path of life, is the first thing it tells us. We have the path of life. Let's pull that verse up again real quick, if you wouldn't mind. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We're going to break this down real quick. Three things that we find in this verse. The very first thing we find in this verse is the path of life is found in Him. The path of life is found in Him. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life. A lot of people stop there, but there's a comma. And that they may have it more abundantly. He didn't just come to give you life. He came that you might have a more abundant life. Choose life, that you might live, right? The thing that we need to understand as we're living here on planet Earth is that we have an enemy. We've been talking about it in small groups. I think we talked, was it last week? Or whenever, last lesson. We talked about Satan being the divider, how he divides. You know, Kevin wrote a great lesson on the mathematics of Christianity, and it's about the following the protocol of typical math. You know, first things first. You obviously multiply them. You do parentheses before you do anything else, and then you multiply before you subtract and divide. You know, there's procedures to do all that. And we learn in that lesson that Satan is a divider. He wants to do nothing but divide us. He wants to do nothing but separate us. And he's pretty good at it. But Jesus said he's came to give us life. Not just a life, but a life that is more abundant. A more abundant life. Jesus has come to give us an abundant life. If you read and do a study on the topic of joy, every time you see it in Scripture, it's accompanied with adjectives. Great joy, exceeding joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's fullness of joy that God wants us to have. But in order to experience joy, we must pick the pathway of life first. And the Bible says in Psalm 16 that He is the path of life. He not only brings us this fullness of joy, He defines life for us. He makes this a little easier than we want it to be sometimes. In His presence is where all this begins. I want you, but I want to be present. I want to win. And I must be present to win. God said, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today, love the Lord your God and walk in His ways and to keep His commandments. I've set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Right. Choose life. That's what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 19. Choose life. So every day we have a choice. Some of you chose today how you were going to wear your hair when you came to church. I didn't have that choice. Bob, you got to decide if you're going to part it or not part it today, right? Bob Peters, you got more hair than you deserve. Bob's got pretty hair. You got pretty hair, Bob. I didn't get to make that choice today. I didn't get to choose, am I going to part it to the side or wear it back or pull it up? I didn't get that choice. But you know, every day I get to choose life. Every day I get to choose how I'm going to respond to what happens that day. Every day I can face every situation that it's my choice to decide how I'm going to respond. And you know what? I'm going to do what Deuteronomy says. I'm going to choose life. I'm going to do what the psalmist David said in chapter 16, verse 11. Jesus' presence defines life for me. I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose Jesus over my circumstance. I'm going to choose Him over what I'm going through. I'm going to choose Him despite what's going on all around me, despite the chaos and the uncertainty that's going on planet Earth. I'm choosing Him. And you know what? In Him is life. In Him is life. The prodigal son had to get past his condition and change his location, didn't he? Think about that. He went to his dad and said, I want everything. It's mine. I'm tired of living here. He got half of the inheritance. He went away. We know he squandered it. He lost it. Found himself in a pig pen. He had to change his condition. The only way to change his condition was what? He had to change his location. He had to get back to the Father. He had to get back to the Father. He had to change his location. And when his location changed, his conditions changed. Shows back up at the father's house. They had a party, right? Killed the fatted calf. Gave him a ring, put a robe on his back, forgave him, welcomed him back into the house. Why? Because he changed his location. I can't change your condition, but I promise you, if you change your location, your conditions will change. Your conditions will change. Joy comes from living a life of obedience from the Word of God. Where it comes from. Think about this for just a moment. If there's a God and he created this world that we're living in, if he gave us the Bible, the Word of God, the infallible, inherent Word of God, the blueprint for life that tells us how to live, and his desire is that we have an abundant life and fullness of joy, if we're not experiencing that the way he intended to, could it be we've strayed just a little bit from where we biblically need to be? Is that possible? It's really on us? I think it is. He says, I want to give you life. I want to give you life more abundantly. And if we're not living that abundant life, if we're not having that fullness of joy, then maybe it's us. God hasn't moved. God hasn't changed. Maybe we've strayed just a little bit. Maybe that's why our joy isn't full. Maybe that's our fault. It's not God's. That's a hard reality. There's no easy truths to share with you. It hits me as well. Petra sang a song, hit me where you live, right? Hit you where you live. That's what the Word of God does to you. It hits you where you live. That's what it does. Wherever you are, it hits you. Good, bad, or indifferent. It hits you. So where you're at, the Word of God will find you. If you seek it out, it will help you. Because he said that when we walk in obedience to his Word, when we follow the guidelines he's laid for us, there's fullness of joy. So it has to be on us. Accepting the invitation to show up in life with Jesus is about moving from the bleachers to the field. Right? Ryan Long preached a message several years ago right here in this pulpit. He's talking about quit playing defense and start playing offense. I was sitting right there, Ryan, when you preached it. And so many times in our Christian life, we're always on defense, aren't we? We're always on the defensive. And there's nothing in the Bible that says I'm supposed to be in a defensive position. This is all, everything about the kingdom of God is offense. It's offense. It's about scoring touchdowns, right? It's about scoring points. That's what's so demoralizing about West Virginia's loss last week, because you got this offense. Of course, defense didn't do well either. But it's time to get off the bleachers and to get on the field. It's time to quit making excuses. It's time to start playing offense. That's where the joy's at. That's where the joy's at. It's time we move past opinions and start developing ideas instead. It's about having things that matter to us enough that we quit just thinking about them and start doing something about them. We can sit around and plan all day long of how I want to do things, or how I want to do this, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that, God do this, God do that, God do this. But until we get the ideas and put them into action, it's just a piece of paper with a bunch of words on it. That's choosing life. Choosing life does. Choosing life is an action. It's a verb. Playing offense, it's an action. It's time to take the next step. Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. We all want the future, don't we? We all want the hope. We all want the plans. We love that verse. But we don't quote all of it. It all goes together. You can't read 11 without reading 12 and 13. You'll find a lot of scriptures and kids will put it on their necks or they'll tattoo it on their arm. Jeremiah 29:11. God's got a future. God's got a plan. God's giving me a hope. The problem is, the Bible goes on to tell us in verse 12 and 13 that we got to pray to him. We got to seek him with our whole heart. We want plans. You want future. You want hope. You got to seek him. You want plans. You want future. You want hope. You got to pray to him. You want plans. You want future. You want hope. You got to give him your whole heart. Verse 11 don't matter unless you're doing something. That's the path of life. That's choosing life. You seek him, he will find you. I will tell you that this morning. When you seek God, he will find you. Why does he find you? Because he's not lost. We are. We're not the ones. He's not lost. We're lost. He's not broken. We are. He's not confused. We are. Seek him. Seek the location. He will find you. He will meet you wherever you are. Every journey and ride begins with the desire to go somewhere and do something. And if you have the desire, then you also have the power to make it happen. Choose life. Choose life. Life is a required course. How many of you know that? There's no prerequisite to life, but this is a required course. Why not pass it, right? Pass this test called life. How do we do that? We choose life. We get on this path that Jesus puts us on. We choose him. And we get on that path, we're choosing life. Number two, we read in this scripture that to pursue the presence of joy, which I've kind of been talking about, and your presence is fullness of joy. How do you get into the place where joy is? The Bible says that the fullness of joy is found in God's presence. This tells me that if I want to experience joy, I need to get into God's presence and to be in his presence. Then I must be present to win. All right, that felt good this morning, didn't it? Didn't that feel normal? We come in here and we start worshiping like that. Don't that just feel normal? That felt normal to me. That's what I was telling myself the whole time I'm worshiping. Man, this feels normal. In other words, this feels good. This is what it's supposed to feel like. This is what normal should feel like. This is what the presence of God should feel like. So why don't we want that 7 days a week? But God, Greg doesn't go everywhere with us. Greg said, I'll get you a CD really soon. He'll set up a table in the back. So he'll get you a 3 for $25 on Heart Cry right now, I'm sure. So he can go everywhere with you, right? Find you a tune. There's some great worship music you can download, you can buy. You don't have to wait on our worship team, even though they're amazing and talented and awesome. Amen. I'll clap for you. Nobody else wanted to. This means get it up, folks. You know. All right? I mean, yeah, we can't put them in the car with you and have them in the trunk jamming you out. Sometimes you got to do it on yourself. As you've heard me say it all the time, the Bible says we got to stir our own salvation. We got to stir ourselves up. Some of you are sticking to the side of the pan because you won't stir. It's all clumped up, man. It's like, you got to stir yourself up. You got to keep yourself fresh. You got to keep yourself in the right mindset. Sometimes you're the only guy, Dave, that's holding the spoon is you. Sometimes I'm the only person that can stir me. It's Don, right? We come in this place, though. We got to learn to worship outside of the sanctuary to get into his presence, to get into his presence. So how do we get there? We worship. The answer is found in another scripture. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel, Psalm 22:3. Do you want to know where God's presence is? It's in praise and worship. That's where his presence is. You begin to worship him and praise him, he's going to show up. He's going to show up. He's already there. All you're doing is igniting yourself, igniting your faith. When we praise and worship God, it brings God's presence into our lives. Isn't that what Psalm 104 says? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. As we worship God, we walk through the doorway into the presence of God. And worship can happen anywhere. Worship happens everywhere. And if you're not worshiping everywhere, then you're not experiencing God everywhere because we're distracted by the world around us. Right. Why is this joy so important? Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You ain't got no strength. You're beaten down. You're worn out. As Pastor Mark preached last week, it's because you don't have no joy in your life. Right. The joy of the Lord's your strength. That's our muscles. That's our spiritual flex. It's that joy that he gives us. That's the strength. You want to know why we have so many weak and defeated Christians? Because we don't have the joy of the Lord that gives us strength from day to day. When our circumstances are dark and they are bad, when our experience loss and pain and suffering in our lives, when we need that joy which comes from being in his presence, which comes from praising and worshiping him. So we need to literally dance for joy, right? Literally dance for joy. Now, how do we get into the presence? Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. He wants our joy to be full. That's his desire. When we spend time with God on a daily basis, not just weekly. Some of you come in here, come to church, and this is it. This is your 90 minutes of fame. You press into worship for three songs. You get into God's presence. And okay, I'm good for the whole week. You dart to your car, right? You come in this place, you worship, you give your offering, your tithes, your service is over. You dart to your cars, you can beat everybody at Cracker Bucket, right? Right, you're saying a prayer the whole way, and it ain't about thank you, Lord, for that service. It's God, I hope there's a parking spot at Cracker Barrel. Amen. Why? Because this isn't a drive-through experience, folks. If it is a drive-through experience, it needs to be Hardee's drive-through, right? Nice and slow. Enjoy that experience. This is not a momentary thing. This needs to be a lifestyle. This has to be a commitment. If you want that joy, if you want the fullness of joy in your life, you must be present to win. And to be present to win, you got to be there 7 days a week. I know, it'd be cool if we had church service every Sunday, every night. I've had someone in the sanctuary who's nodding their head right now thinking, man, it'd be good just to have a church every night to experience that. And we would do that if y'all'd show up. Come on now. I'd have no problem 6 days a week having church. Y'all wouldn't come. Be three of us here. Me and Mark and Pastor Frank. And he can't sing. And I can't play. Mark can play drums. We can catch a beat. Right? We have to do it on our own, don't we? I'd love to have church 7 nights a week if everybody'd show up. It's no fun without you here. It's no fun without you, Junior. It's no fun without you, David and Ryan and Otis. David, it's no fun without you here, man. We do life together. If we want that joy, we got to learn to worship. So sometimes we have to worship wherever we are, in the middle of our mess, in the middle of the worst news you ever got. Man, the best thing you can do is worship. The best thing you can do is worship. It ain't always good news. You know, y'all notice I'm not wearing that boot anymore. How many of you noticed that? What if I told you I probably never needed to wear that boot to begin with? How would you feel about that? Probably the same way I felt. Oh, man. I went to another doctor, and he's like, I don't think you ever need to wear a boot. That's tough to say after 9.5 weeks. Right? Had arthritis, not a stress fracture, in my ankle. Getting old, Junior. Sophomore. See, conditions change, don't they? We abide by the rules. We do everything we're supposed to do. Then we find out everything we're doing didn't work. Or we didn't need to begin with. I got to learn to worship in that setting. In my worst day, the best thing I can do is worship. The best thing I can do is worship. Why? Because I get in His presence. And His presence is not only the path of life, but there's fullness of joy in His presence. If you want to experience the abundant life of the Lord, it's not good enough just to come to church on Sundays and think, I'll just press into worship with all my heart. I'll just soak up and listen to everything the pastor's teaching. Today's service will give me everything I need to go through the week. It doesn't work that way. And lastly, number three, pleasures forevermore. Man, we not only get a path of life, we not only get this fullness of joy that's only found in His presence. We must be present to win. We also find pleasures forevermore. You know, Pastor Mark said it. You know, when we do have a loss, a loved one or a friend's family, the reality of heaven kind of hits us, doesn't it? You know, Bob Carlyle, man, sings one of the beautiful, beautiful song called Heaven. That's an amazing song. When I read the morning paper, I'm reminded once again of the world, talking about the world we live in, how it's dead and dying to sin. I'm living every moment as if each day was my last. I'm going to put my treasure where my heart is. Amen. It's all about living to heaven. I want to get to heaven. How many of you know we're not in heaven yet? Right. Right? We're not there yet. I don't want this fullness of joy to be in the sweet by and by. I don't want to wait to get that joy. I don't want to wait to the path of life. I want it now. And that's the cool thing. Jesus said, I've come to give you life now. He wants you living life now. He wants you living abundantly now. And in His presence, there's not only fullness of joy or the path of life, but there's also pleasures forevermore, which gets us to heaven. We have a heavenly reward. Do you want to know why people put their trust in the Lord? Because of the preciousness of His loving kindness. It's the goodness of God that draws people to repentance, the Bible tells us. Those who trust in God's loving kindness are abundantly satisfied. Abundantly satisfied. And this is what every single person on this planet is looking for. They want to be abundantly satisfied. They are searching for something in life that will abundantly satisfy them, that will fill the longing in their heart. And the Bible says that God will give us pleasures forevermore. He satisfies our mouth with good things. He takes care of us. He never seen the righteous begging for bread. Why? Because we have pleasures forevermore. And it all begins in his presence. It all begins when Don Kinder must be present to win. If I want to win this thing called Christianity, I got to be present. If I want to succeed, if I want to triumph, if I want to be victorious life, I must be present. I must choose the location of his presence, because in his presence is the fullness of joy. Today is your day to forget about, push past, and focus beyond your condition. I understand your marriage isn't perfect. I understand your life took a turn when you had it all straightened out. I understand what you pursued, something that disappointed you. But the Bible says in Psalm 35, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. What you're going through, joy is coming in the morning. It's coming. Your weeping may last for a night, but there's a joy coming in the morning. Why? Because his mercy is new every single day. Today, why don't you pursue his presence and the fullness of joy and pleasures at his right hand? It's not enough just to attend church every week, then dart to the car and speed off as soon as you can. We may learn a thing or two about the Bible. We may even pray. It doesn't really change who we are. Psalm 145, 18, as we close. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. You want to be in his presence? All you can do is call on him. Petra sings a song called, you may feel like you're 10,000 steps away. It's called Just Reach Out. But you're really just one step back. It's an awesome song, really, when you think about it. That's why Pastor Frank rocks to Petra so much. We feel like we're 10,000 steps away from God, when in reality, all we gotta do is take one step back. He's right there. He's waiting on us. He loves you, church. He does. He wants the best for your life. This isn't a punishment. This isn't a prison. This is freedom. This is free. This is what freedom feels like. This is what normal should feel like. This is, should be our settings of our everyday life. This is normal. That worship, that joy, that's normal. This is what normal should look like. I can tell you what's going on in the world around us. That's not normal. And if that's normal, we need to change the settings on what normal is. The blessing doesn't come from afar. Think about what I just said. It comes from being in his presence. It comes from being in his presence. That's where the blessing comes from.